Who have given their lives, who have made a decision that instead of following what could be a lucrative career somewhere else, they'll sacrifice and they'll give it all for Christ. This is what the church is. Byron and Anne, I'm not sure what verse we're up to in Hebrews 11. It's probably something like 123,297. But there's a mention there, because these guys are heroes of the faith. Amen. He's disagreeing with me, but he's wrong. And who they have been and what they have done is outstanding. And it is a real privilege to count you as friends. And it's a real privilege to be able to welcome you here today to Freedom Christian Church. So if for a moment you can get your mind off the golf balls, we would dearly love for you to come and share with us.
Okay. Okay, you get my chair? Right. Thank you. Good morning. You all good? Awesome. Great to be here. Who takes notes? All three of you, all right. Write down in your notes. Write this down. Light. L-I-G-H-T equals revelation. You'll have to spell that one because it's too big a word for me. Plus application equals transformation. Can you do that? Light equals revelation plus application equals transformation. And I love that communion message this morning. Thank you. Because it's exactly on point with what I'm talking about today. You know, lives being transformed. And it's a wonderful opportunity to be here today to share this word with you. I pray for this church every day. Have done for quite a few years now. Because I believe God has got something in this house that is going to, like ripples in a pond, go out and have impact everywhere they're sent. And I mean, we're seeing that. I mean, with all the churches you've planted around the world, I mean, that is just remarkable, you know, that any church, anywhere in a small region or location, a small town, whatever, has such a global impact. I've got to tell you, that's God right there. That's how God works. And so let me bring you this word today. It's titled All About the Light. All About the Light. I've been talking about the Apostle Paul. He's an absolute hero of mine. And we know that he started upon the Damascus Road. And in the beginning of chapter 22 of the book of Acts, Saul, as he was known then, not Paul, but Saul, was on his way to arrest the followers of Jesus Christ, take them captive, take them back to Jerusalem for trial. So he was anti-church, anti-Christian church. And in verse 6 it tells us, "About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me." Now, this bright light, we know, is a direct encounter with the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Mighty Saul was knocked to the ground and arose the great Apostle Paul. And I love that. I love the transformation that the light brings. And of course, there's a journey attached with that. But from the moment that Saul, as he was known, was transformed by the light of Jesus Christ, and the moment that happened, that journey began, and he spent the rest of his life bringing transformation everywhere he went. That's what I like about this church. You know, bringing transformation. It's not joining a club. It's not joining a denomination, a religion, or whatever. No, it's pursuing transformation for everyone in your world. That's the power of the gospel, power of the light that we're talking about today. So we're focusing on the light, and in verse 6, it tells us that it was around noon, right, midday when the sun is at its highest. And of course, you've got to be thinking that if it's midday, the sun's at its highest, and this light was so bright that it encompassed him and knocked him off his horse, then it was pretty powerful. I mean, that's got to be brighter than the sun. That's how powerful that light was. And John explains that this connection with the light was Jesus Christ. In 1 John 1:4, it says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Isn't that good news? Talk to me. You with me? I mean, isn't that good news? We're talking light dispels darkness. What a great revelation. Now, this light is the revelation that brings humanity out of the bondage of darkness. It opens our eyes to see the plan that God, the life that God originally intended for every one of his creation. And when that light shines, we see it, we apply it, and then our lives are transformed into the fullness of the promise that he has for us. I want to look at three things that will happen that defines the rest of your life when that light comes on. If we read from Acts 22, I'm going to read from verse 11 to 16. It says, my companions led me. Saul had been knocked off his horse. He was actually blinded by this light, and they took him into Damascus to a Christian who lived there. And it says, a man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. At that very moment, I was able to see him. Then he said, the God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and hear his words from his mouth. You will be his witnesses to all people of what you have seen and heard, and now what you are waiting for. Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. I want to give you three things that is going to happen when that light comes on in your life. The first one is that you see different. Write that down in your notes. Number one, you see different. In verse 13, we see here that he stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. Not go back to the old vision. Not go back to seeing the way you used to see. No, see like you've never seen before. I love that. It's got such possibility. See like you've never seen before. You've heard people say, I had a light bulb moment. You ever heard that? You know, the penny dropped. Have you heard that saying? all of a sudden you're thinking about something and you get the revelation. Oh, that's right. Oh, that's what that means. I get it. I get it now. I understand what you're saying. There's a revelation that happens in that moment. And Paul suddenly gets it. It all becomes so clear because, you know, he could see the folly of the way that he lived his life and the deception in the way he lived. It was like living in darkness and then somebody turns on the light and all of a sudden, oh, I can see that. That makes sense now. I understand it. That was the situation that Paul was in. John 3:19-20 says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Isn't that true? I mean, isn't that just truth right there? So why don't people want to have a better life? Why do they keep making those same old mistakes? Well, see, if you turn on the light, they don't want to see what they're going to see. So they'd rather remain in that darkness. The truth is, when that light comes on, you see different. You see like you never saw before. Now, imagine you live in a dark room. Just say that this was my life prior to knowing Jesus Christ. And you're living in this dark room, right? And you can't see anything, so you're stumbling through and you keep stumbling into the same old thing. Why? Because you can't see it. It's pitch black. You can't see it. You keep stumbling into that, right? Now, when the light comes on, and you get that revelation, oh, there's a chair there. No wonder I've been bumping into this all the time. I didn't see it. It was all dark. But now the light's on, I can see it. Now, you've got to be thinking, only a fool, when the light comes on, would continue to stumble into the chair. Amen? It doesn't make sense, does it? When it was darkness, yeah, I get it. I get that. I didn't see it. I didn't understand. But now the light's on, it's like, whoa, no, I'm not stumbling into that. I'm staying clear of that. Why? Because I see it. I see it now. You see differently when the light comes on. Now, before I was a believer, and I lived in that dark place, for me, that stumbling block that kept me small, I kept running into that same thing that kept bringing me down was alcohol. You see, I grew up with alcoholics. My mum and dad died in the early 50s, alcoholics. All my aunties and uncles was alcohol. All our family gatherings were just drunken parties, really. And then everyone got full. It was just fights and arguments and, you know, dysfunction. I grew up in that. That was my childhood. I thought everybody lived like that. And so for me, in that darkness, I couldn't see that alcohol was something that kept me stumbling, bringing damage into my life, damage into my health, damage into my marriage, right? But I couldn't see it. Why? Because I was living in that darkness. But when I found Jesus Christ and the light came on, it was like, whoa. Oh, that's what's been doing it. And I realized for the first time the thing I loved the most in my life at that point was not really my friend. It was damaging me. It was bringing me down. It was keeping me small. And God had a bigger plan for my life. So thankfully, when that light came on, I saw different. I said, okay. I haven't had a drink for 45 years. From that day. as an alcoholic at 25 years old. And the light came on and I saw it and I am not having that in my life anymore. Amen? That's the power of revelation. When the light comes on, you begin to see different. Now, I would be a fool to know the damage that was causing me and to continue to do it, wouldn't I? Is that fair? That's a fair comment. Now, that my story is not everybody's story, but that is my story. I tell you another thing. I tell you a mistake I made, and hopefully this will help you. You know, when the light came on, one of the stumbling blocks that I had in my life was insecurity. Because I grew up, you know, as a kid, alcoholic family, one of seven kids. We were dirt poor. Mum and Dad drank everything. There were seven kids, so, you know, there wasn't a lot of food around. You got the hand-me-down clothes all the way down. So I went to school and I failed grade 10. I was on a kill floor at the age of 14, right? Killing sheep at the age of 14. That was my first job. And so you've got to be thinking that, you know, coming from where I came from, having a lack of education, growing up in that environment, the influences in my life were just bad men were the influences in my life. And so I grew up with this insecurity. And this is what happened. When the light came on, I saw the alcohol. I said, no way. No way am I stepping into that again, right? I know the damage that you do, but the one thing I didn't do was deal with that insecurity in my life. Because the light had come on and now was my opportunity to see differently, but I chose to maybe bring that insecurity stumbling block with me into the light. And so I lived as a Christian, hallelujah, praise God, great to see you, brother and sister, and yet, you know, all the time I was dragging around my insecurity, even though I could see it. I failed to deal with it. I'd like to ask you a question today. What's your stumbling block? What's that a part of your life that now the light's on, you see it, but you just can't have the courage to deal with that thing? And you know, each one could have a different thing, but we refuse. We see it. We see different now because the light's on. But, you know, I just don't want to touch that area. I just don't want to deal with that. I just don't want to go through the pain of allowing transformation to come into that area. Why? So I can be free. I can be free in Freedom Church. I can be free. I know a lot of Christians, not everyone's free. Amen? Is that true? You know a lot of believers. They can pray the paint off the walls, but they're not free. And Jesus wants us to be free, and free indeed. Amen? Amen. Now the second thing that happens when the light comes on, you think differently. I noticed this. I was always like one track, one line, but then when the light came on, when Jesus Christ came into my life and the darkness was pushed away, I started to think differently. Have a look at verse 15. Verse 15, it says, "You will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard." That's what was prophesied over Saul. You got to understand the significance of this. This man was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He would have been trained. He would have been trained in a certain way. There would have been a certain vein that he was trained in. One of those was, you know, they weren't supposed to mingle with the Gentiles, with the unclean, there would have been traditions, there would have been things that just automatically came out of his mind. But here he's called to take this message to all people. That is a quantum leap. A quantum leap. To be God's witnesses to all people. meant that Paul's world just got bigger. It just got bigger. So he was used to living in the fishbowl. While he did his traditions, while he did his Pharisaical thing, and while he did all that together, you know, he was comfortable with that. I mean, he was top dog in that arena. Amen? That was his world. He was like, I got this. I understand this. This is good. But now God has taken him out of the fishbowl and thrown him into the ocean. Totally out of his comfort zone. So he had to think different. Matthew 9:17 says, neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out and the wineskin will be ruined. No, they put new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved. What does that mean? It means when the light comes on, we see different, but we also think different. We think different. I mean, Jesus was constantly challenging the mindset of the day, constantly trying to expand their thinking. John 4:35 says, don't you have a saying, it is still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes, look to the fields, they are ripe for harvest. And the disciples and the people hearing that are going, 4 months? Yeah, it's 4 months till harvest. Why would we be thinking about harvest? Why would we? See, he was trying to broaden their paradigm, broaden their understanding. Wait a minute. Salvation is not seasonal. Salvation is continual. When the light comes on and you see different, you think different, you're always on mission. Once you're born again, you see different and you think different. I was taught all my life before I was a believer, before the light came on, I was taught to look after number one. That's it. What matters to you is all that matters. What you want, the achievements you want, the things you want, that's what you work for. That's what you build. Your family, your own, that's it. You know, you work hard, you build. It's all about building your world. I grew up with that mentality and that's all I understood. But then when the light come on, I saw different and I started to think different. Wait a minute. I might be able to make a difference in other people's lives. It's not all about me anymore. Maybe I can make a difference in someone else's life. Now remember, I'm not educated. Remember, I come from the wrong side of the tracks. I have no Christian heritage whatsoever. But yet when God came in, there was this desire, there was this light, this revelation that, you know, we could bring that transformation to our world. To our world. To our neighbours, our workplace, our friends, our school, you know, across the ocean, whatever that took. So I started to look at a bigger world. And I thought, you know what? I'm gonna start a business. So I started a business and I had two visions in the business. One was to look after my family. Right? I was just a meat worker. I just was in a factory job. I just went to work 5 days a week and thank God for Friday, right? I mean, that was my routine, that was my, you know, my life. Even though I was a believer, that was my locked-in routine. And I thought, I can't make a difference locked into this system. I'm called to make a difference. I don't know how, I don't know what that looks like, but I can't do it 9 to 5, 5 days a week, locked in. So I thought, I'll start a business. I started this business. I borrowed, I think, $3,000 and bought a truck and some tools. Not a very nice truck, but it was a truck and some tools, and I started doing installation for people. And, you know, the business grew and got bigger and bigger, and God blessed it. But, you know, the main thing was that I used that business as a vehicle for the gospel, to bring transformation. I end up having a little Toyota Lighthouse. Do they still have those? Who remembers those? A Toyota Lighthouse. And we'd put five people in it and a whole bunch of sound equipment, and we'd go out to country towns, you know, St. George and you know, up through Queensland, you know, in the outback, people who were desperate to have anybody come. I fit it in. I thought I could handle that, you know. And so we did dramas in the streets, you know, on a Saturday, inviting people to church, and then we'd do, you know, the Sunday service for the pastors and give the pastors a break. I wasn't a pastor. I was just a businessman. Started to preach. Poorly. Not very good, I've got to tell you. But they were happy to have anybody, so... Then I started to expand. I thought, well, we can plant churches in Queensland, but I don't know how many trips I did to the Solomon Islands, and we planted 14 churches in the Solomon Islands. We planted one church in Fiji. I've been going to India since 1985, and I don't know how many churches, hundreds of churches we've planted in India. Most of those before I was a pastor. I was just a businessman. But see, the light came on, and I saw different, and I thought differently. It wasn't about me all the time now. It wasn't about me, my sole goal. No, it was about the gospel. How can we bring transformation to people's lives as far as we possibly can? No doubt God blessed it, God honored it, and then we pioneered Highway Church in 95. I'm still not a pastor. They hounded me for 3 years to get credentials. I said, what do I need credentials for? I'm doing the job, like I'm doing it. And I said, you got to marry people. So, okay, fair enough. I suppose that's all right. So I got credentials. See this thing kept me small. This thing held me back. I thought, how could I be a pastor? I'd never be a pastor. I'm happy to be a businessman. I'm happy to do that, but a pastor? I don't know. No, come to Ray, isn't how intimidating is Ray? Like, one of the smartest men on the planet. And I'm preaching to him today. Hello. Not comfortable up here. Trying to make every word right, Ray. I'm trying. Look, I don't say that to boast. I don't. Honestly, I don't. God is my witness. I say that to give you an understanding when that light comes on and you start to see different. You know, you start to think different. I tell you, you can change the world. You can change your world to start with, and then the world from then on, with the same transformation message that Jesus has given all of us. And number three today, you ready? When this light comes on, you act different. You act different. Look at verse 16 in Acts 22. It said, and now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash the sins away, calling on his name. I mean, I love the urgency in this. You know, what are you waiting for? Get up, go. And I'm like, whoa, hold on a minute. I mean, let the guy catch his breath. He's just been knocked off a horse. He's just had a humongous God encounter. He's been blind. He's been dragged to some stranger's house. He's had a miracle of a lifetime where the scales have fallen off his eyes. Everything that's happened has gone against every tradition that he's probably been taught. It's like, give the guy a break. Let him catch his breath, will you? No. Get up and go. Get up and go. Surely, surely he should have gone to meet the apostles, the other disciples. Surely he needed more training than one encounter on the Damascus Road. Maybe he should have got his master's in theology before he's opened his mouth. No, no. Verse 15 says, you will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. That's it. That's it. See, with my insecurity, I grew up in church and I'm thinking, you know, I could never do what those guys do. God's got a gift and a call in the life. I could never do that. You know, I'm not trained. I did 1 year of Bible college. That's all I did. And no. All you've got to do is testify about what you've seen and heard. I mean, how many people in this room have had your life transformed by this gospel message? Put your hand up. I mean, transformed by, there's your message. There's your message right there. You don't have to talk about, you know, whether Adam had a navel or what. I don't know. The deep theological questions, you don't have to go there. You just got to talk about what you've seen and heard. And we can all do that, can't we? We can all do that. I mean, God has been so good to me. So good. I've got so much testimony of the goodness of God, I would talk their ears off. And none of it's about me. It's about what he has done. What he has done was a nobody from nowhere. Wow. Even the disciples didn't get it. After 3 years with Jesus and he was killed, Peter went back fishing. It's like, well, I don't know what that 3 years was about, but I'm going back fishing. Jesus had to resurrect him on the beach, buy him breakfast, get him back in the game. So we're in good company when we feel a little bit, whoa, you know, maybe out of my depth, a little bit here. But hold on, you've got to act different. You've got to act on this revelation. Remember, as I said at the beginning, light equals revelation plus application. Application equals transformation. See, we can hear it, but if we don't apply it, there's no transformation. We won't be transformed. We'll be same-o. And church life gets pretty stale. That's why people can sit in church for 20 years and then say, oh, just doesn't do it for me anymore. Yes. Just doesn't do it for me anymore. I'm out of here. Try another church. And that'll be nice for a little while, but then after a while, oh, it doesn't do it for me anymore. I'll let you in a little secret. Not about you. Not about you. It's about him through you. The transformation that comes when we act, when we apply it to our lives. We cannot compartmentalize Jesus. That's a long word. We cannot compartmentalize Jesus. I had to rehearse that a lot, as I tell you. I think I was stuck on that one. Let him out Sundays. It's like, you know, he's not... it's not an accessory that I put on Sunday because I'm going to church. I let him out of his compartment in my busy world. He's not an add-on to my life. He is my life. He is my life. And if he is my life, I am always on mission. Make no mistake. I am always on mission. Doesn't matter where I am. Doesn't matter who I'm with. because of the revelation, because this light comes on, I see different, you know, I think different and I act different, I'm always on mission. Always. Some people go to a coffee shop and they just sit there and have a coffee. I don't. I sit there and see people. See people. See that mum with the kids struggling, going to do the shopping. See that an old man lonely. Old man lonely, sitting down on his own. Got no one. We're always on mission. When we see them, our heart breaks as the Father's heart breaks. Then we know I'm born again. See, when we don't see them, I challenge we're born again. Because it's not humanly natural to see them. Amen? But when God opens our eyes, we are the only Bible that many people will ever read. And no one's perfect. We're all going to make mistakes and, you know, I'm the winner right there. Ask Jenny. She won't tell you because she's Christian. No one's perfect. But we can all glorify God. We can speak about what we've seen and what we've heard just in our own life. We don't need to carry a Bible for that. We can care for someone, you know, in that coffee shop I go to. Whenever I see an ambo, do you have ambos? Do you call them ambos here? Ambulance, you know, officers, whatever you call them here. You know, paramedics, you know. Whenever they go to that coffee shop to get a coffee, before they can pay, I'm first in. And they think I'm rude at the start because they're lined up, they've put their order in, right, and here's this old bloke just barging in, you know, because I want to pay for their coffee. Why? Because nobody thanks them. No one thanks them. They've saved my life how many times? I don't know. I've lost count. A lot, you know. I died once and they brought me back with the paddles. And they're blown away. And I had one paramedic lady, she said to me, and I don't make a scene of it, I just hit the pay here thing with my card and I go back and have my coffee. And she's like, oh, thank you. No, thank you. Anyway, on the way out, she came and she put her arm on my shoulder. She said, no one has ever said thank you. She said, I've been doing this job 13 years. How many lives has she saved in 13 years? And no one has said thank you. No one. Allow the light to expose what is hidden in the darkness and deal with it, please. Deal with it so you can move forward into his greater world that he has for your life. For your life. So I'm going to pray for you today. I'd like you to just bow your head at the moment. I want to ask you today. What's your stumbling block? What's that area that, and you know, for me, insecurity. What's that stumbling block? What's that thing that keeps you small. When God has called you to a bigger world, but that thing is keeping you small. You know it. You know it. You. It's in the forefront of your mind right now. Right now, you know it. Holy Spirit's put his finger on it right now. Right now. And can I ask you today? So don't let that thing keep you small anymore. Let the light come in. Dispel that darkness. Use that application and allow the transformation to change your world. To change your world. She's going to give you a minute right now. She's going to give you a minute just offering that up to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm not holding on to that thing anymore. You are more valuable to me than anything in my flesh that I want to hold on to. I surrender. I surrender that to you. I surrender that to you today. Today. And I promise you, if you're genuine in your heart, you'll leave this place free. You'll leave Freedom Church free. Free. And closer to him than you've ever been in your life. And while you've got your head bowed and your eyes closed, I don't know, obviously, everyone here, maybe everyone in this church is a believer today. But if you're not, if you've never allowed that light to come on in your life to dispel that darkness, and trust me, I can guarantee, I can promise you, if you don't know him, you only know darkness. You won't know what life is until you encounter him. I guarantee that. And I want to give you that opportunity. I want to pray for you today. If that's you, I want to start this journey. I want you to step into a brand new start. A brand new start. Seeing like you've never seen before. And living in a big world. When you know Jesus Christ. So everyone's got their head bowed. No one's looking. Starts today. If that's you, just give me a wave. I'm looking at you. I'll pray for you after the service. But I won't embarrass you. I don't want to embarrass you. But I do want to pray with you, because I do know the transformation that he brings is amazing. And I want that for you. Is there anyone here? Quickly, just give me a wave. Say, yep, that's me up the back there. Thank you. Somebody else? Thank you, sir. Yeah, come on. Three, over there, yeah. There's more. This is your chance. There's nothing you're trying to hold on to. I promise you this. There's nothing you're trying to hold on to right now with this battle that's going on the inside that's more valuable than the life he's got for you right now. The life he's got for you right now, I can testify. A nobody from nowhere. I can testify. Don't miss out any longer, please. Last time I'll ask quickly. Is there somebody else? Somebody else? Up the back there, thank you. Over there, thank you. Maybe a few of those people put their hand up. Maybe you are believers and you're thinking, no, it's a brand new start today. It's a brand new start. I'm taking it next level. And I thank you for that. So can we all stand? I'm just going to, for those who raise their hand, I'm just going to pray for you. Is that all right? Just, you can stay where you are, but you know who you are. God knows who you are. I don't know what you do in this church, but I'd love to pray with you. Pray for you. Father, today, Lord, as we acknowledge those who have raised their hand and said, Lord, come into my life and dispel the darkness. Kick it out. Kick it out of my life. Give me a brand new start. Give me an understanding, Lord, a revelation. And I'll be obedient to apply that revelation and we'll see the transformation together to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Ray.